I'm going to explore this, but also some other ways of encountering these shadows. And we'll meet different characters as we venture into the forest and look at different methods to confront them and the real life situations that we might need to use these methods. But going back to what I was saying last night about the forest being like a circle in the sense of having a perimeter and a centre, let's start on the outskirts of the forest. So there's quite a lot of light here. We can see what's going on. And as we start to look more closely, we see that there's various critters or creatures, and they're scurrying under the leaves. And they're unruly. They're a bit rambunctious, but they're not overwhelming. Pretty innocuous. So these are like the distracting voices in our heads. They're unhelpful, but they're known. You know, they represent issues that maybe we've worked a lot on and we don't need to pay a lot of attention to them anymore. Or maybe they're distractions that don't have much weight behind them. You know, we can sort of see them and, yeah, they scurry away. Not much of a bother. So use your imagination here. You know, I've got a few examples, but you might have your own. So I've not actually read Gulliver's Travels, but I do have that image in my mind of Gulliver being tied down by the Lilliputians, these little beings that are so rambunctious. Or maybe, has anyone seen the 1980s cult film Willow? Yes, okay, the little brownies, you know, those little guys with the sticks. These are like these little things that they just kind of poke at our consciousness, you know, when we're meditating. Hey, look over here. Hey, what are you having for dinner? This kind of thing. Okay, Cornish pixies from Harry Potter, yeah? Did anyone play Dr. Mario on Game Boy? Yes, some recognition? Okay, you know the little viruses, and then when you get a line, they kind of lay on their back and go, ah! Okay, so all these things, they're annoying, yeah, but we can handle them, yeah? And they're best dealt with using traditional samatha methods, some of which I've already mentioned. So sometimes these are called the antidotes to the hindrances in meditation. So we can consider the consequences, we can cultivate the opposite, or even we can use suppression, just like, no, not listening to you, no, no. Sometimes that can be very effective and if the voice is, you know, quite small. And we do this all the time in our seated meditation practice or in everyday things like getting out of bed in the morning. You know, we don't want to get out of bed, but we do. Or maybe we're sitting down to complete an assignment that we need to get done. So there's all these little gremlins pulling us in various directions. But by integrating our energies in one direction and not giving them much attention, they're not going to cause us much harm or allow us to deviate from the path. So this is very much in keeping with the transformative approach.